You, do you like yourself? Anybody here doesn't like themselves? You know, you have people don't like themselves.
That's right.
Can't even look at themselves in the mirror.
Yes.
Everybody like themselves in here? I like to ask young folk that, because, you know, young folk go through that little peer pressure. You like yourself, Amber? You all right being different? And parents, you need to ask your children those questions and support them and who they are in Christ. Because if not, their peers are going to get them to change. And you're going to wonder why now you're following the wrong crowd, where they want to fit in. You need to let your children know they are who God made them to be. And they need that type of support, don't they? Support them. Lift them up. Be there for them. Let them know wrong is wrong and right is right. Just speak the truth. Amen. Glory to God. You know, I was finishing my study with Journey Towards Intimacy. That's where God's taking us. And he let me know that it's the Holy Spirit that we have become more familiar with in order for us to come closer to him. It's the Holy Spirit now that's working in the earth. And I think sometimes the Holy Spirit might say, Father, you did your job, and Jesus, you did yours, but they won't let me do mine. They just won't let me do what you sent me to earth to do for them, to comfort them and lead them and teach them, to walk beside them, to be a help. They just won't let me do it. That's because the enemy knows the function of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to try to instill pride in your heart that you don't need him. You can do all that yourself. But have you found out that you can't?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, he's precious. He's sweet. Do you know him? Hallelujah. And I start looking at some of the functions of the Holy Spirit. And do you know he leads and directs you? Do you know that he speaks? Do you know that he gives power to cast out devils? Do you know that he anoints? Do you know he baptizes and fills? Do you know that he leads into worship? He flows like a river from your spirit. He gives comfort and health and strength. He shows us things to come. He is holy. He is a spirit of life, and he gives life. He is a sword. He produces fruit in our lives. Did you know all that? And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's the Holy Spirit and the power. If you know that he gives power to cast out demons, then why aren't you doing it? If you know that he's holy, then why are you behaving unholy? If you know that it gives life and life more abundantly, why are you living a defeated life? Glory to God. If you know that he gives strength and joy and peace and healing, then why are you so cast down? Why is your soul so cast down? See, the Holy Spirit is saying, let me do my ministry. Glory to God. We should not be guessing what's going to happen. He said he will show us things to come, Reggie. Then why are you confused? Why you don't know what to pray for, how to pray? Why are you going after man's gimmicks? I'm not carrying a card. I'm not protesting. I'm getting on my knees and I'm praying in the name of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to do what the Lord wants done in the earth towards the foolishness that man is releasing. God got a plan. And we're part of the plan. And I don't think a part of the plan is go out there and make a political statement by marching around a building. That's easier than getting on your knees and praying. See, that's the easy part. But to surrender yourself and to pray and to wait to hear what thus saith the Lord, and then to get off your knees with the courage to go out and do what he tell you to do. Hallelujah. If you know him, then why do you feel abandoned and alone? He's a comforter. He's a counselor. So why are you confused? He says everything the Father says, he's telling you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Do you know him? Glory. He provides power for signs and wonders and preaching. He ministers love. He searches the deep things of God. He quickens the mortal body. He brings revelation. He washes, sanctifies, purifies, and justifies the children. That's the Holy Ghost. He's awesome, isn't he? and you just going to flippantly not allow him to work in your life. And this is his ministry. That's what he's come to do, Pastor. So why are we doing so much of the Holy Spirit's work? We need to be resting and let the Holy Spirit work through us. Am I right, Pastor George? Glory to God. We're doing too much and we're not having any effect. We're just doing with no results, but we keep on doing. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm not going to interfere until they ask me. Hallelujah. He said, they just open up their mouth and say, Holy Spirit, speak. I'll speak a word as Jesus spoke to the soldier that knocked him back. I'll give him a word to speak those demons out. Bring order in their home. Bring order in their own lives. If they would just let me speak and not speak that fallen, carnal language that came when Adam and Eve sinned. See, we think the more intellectual we are, the bigger the words. You know, if I throw out a 16-letter word, I'm going to impress you. But please don't ask me to spell it or what the definition is. Most people that use words of that magnitude, you know, they talk real quick. They don't want to give you an opportunity to say, and could you explain that a little further? Because they don't know what in the world they're saying. They don't know what in the world. I'm going to say ham sandwich. They don't know what they're saying. They're trying to impress you carnally. But don't impress me carnally with earthly stuff. I want to see the power of the Holy Ghost working. Hallelujah. People need the Lord. People need to see God's power manifested. They need to see folk raised from the dead. They need to see limbs restored. Hallelujah. They need to see families put back together. And all worshiping God with one mindset. They want to see loved ones delivered from demonic activity. It breaks their heart. You just can't go up and tell an alcoholic that's been drinking for years, stop drinking. That's foolishness. If they could, they would. It's something deeper. It's a stronghold. They need the Holy Spirit. We need to be anointed so we can go out in Jesus' name and break that yoke. Hallelujah. Speaking the words of Jesus that's alive and full of power. And if you believe it in your spirit, when you speak it, it shall be done. Expected to be done. But you can't go out to your little cute self, your little scriptures written down, A through Z, and saying, well, you know, you this, that, and the other. And so your God shall supply all your needs. I know you don't have any food on the table. Children are hungry. Lights are out. But wait a minute. Right here in the book of Philippians says that your God, you don't even know if they're saved. You don't even know if they've been baptized. They hungry. Feed them. Mama's heart's breaking because the children are probably dirty with no clothes. And you sitting there. Let me see if I can find you another scripture. Over here it says, God says that if you ask and if you believe it, they're looking at you like, will you get to the point? You don't even believe what you're saying. You just fulfilling a duty. Somebody told you you need to go out and witness. So you decide, well, I guess I get on up and fulfill my duty and go out. Don't want to. Haven't been face to face with God. Not full of the anointing of God. God hasn't even spoken to you to tell you where to go. But here you, I'm gonna go somewhere close to a fast food. So when I get hungry, I go right. Now you know it's the truth. It's all about us. Ain't nothing. God may say, if you just get on your knees, I can show them to you supernaturally. I can open up your eyes where you can see into heaven. And I need you to pray so that I can move this individual that's in the next door neighbor to go knock on the door and say, the Lord says. See, God knows where his people are. He's placed them strategically. He need prayer warriors. He need those who have the gift of giving. He need those who have the gift of wisdom. He need those that have the gift of love. He need those that have the gifts of healing. We all work together. So God says, you pray, Charles. You get on your knees and pray. And I'm going to open up the heavens. I'm going to show you what to pray for. And when you begin to pray for that person, I'm going to have the Holy Spirit touch that person to say, get up, because they're listening. They're waiting for an order from me. Get up and go next door and give that woman enough food for her children to eat. Obeying the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He's wonderful, isn't he? I'm just giving you a few of his attributes. I can go on and on and on and on and on, but you go and find out what he does. You go. And this one I'm going to share with you, though. He said he provides power for us to be witnesses. Amen. We want to allow him to empower us to go out to be witnesses. When he said he empowered you to go out to be witnesses, that means that you're so anointed, you go out and speak to someone. It's not you, but it's the Holy Spirit in you that's going to convict their soul so they can come and be a child of God. And here we are on a journey towards a new life. Hallelujah. So now let's bring it up to date. The last one I said is the Holy Spirit to help us what? To bear fruit. I'm going to give you a recap. Last Sunday, we talked about the vine and the branches. I asked you to read that and get a deep revelation what the Lord is showing us there. John 15, 1 through 15. In those scriptures from 1 through 15, I counted 11 times that the word remain was mentioned. Remain in my love. Remain in my presence. Remain, remain, remain. Now, for the Holy Spirit to take so much time to say to the author of this book to write the word remain, we need to pay attention. Remain. Well, it makes sense because we're in such a compromising situation now, we're not remaining anywhere. Even in the natural, somebody come to work for you 6 months, they're gone. Even in relationships, boyfriend today, gone tomorrow. Even with marriages, you get these contracts, they don't care. You mess up overnight, they're gone. Nobody's remaining in anything. And we, the people of God, the same way. We're here. We're here. We're here. We're here. He says, remain. If you do too much transplanting with a plant, what's going to happen? It's going to kill it. If you leave it alone and let it remain, what does it do? It grows roots. It becomes stable. And even when the winds come, it may rock it, but it's not going to uproot it. Because it has remained where it was planted in good soil that was fertilized and fed the proper food. You got to be careful where you put yourself and you remain. You ask God, is this the right soil? Are they preaching the truth of the word of God? Is the anointed, is the worship anointed? Is it from heaven or is it from earth? Because see, some of this worship song, boy, remember the turtle? Y'all probably know because y'all too young. Some of that stuff make you want to hit your feet and twirl your neck and, you know what I'm saying? You're not giving your body over to worship God. You're giving your body over to the spirit that runs the earth, and we know what that spirit is. So you have to ask the Lord, am I in the right place? And if he says yes, be still. And see, that helps you when controversy comes. Because sometimes you can put a plant in sun. They don't want all that sunlight. It hurts. It's painful. But they know it's the best place to be for you to grow. So when you know the Lord has said yes, that's where you belong, be still. Remain there. I don't care who upsets you. I don't care who frustrates you. Don't you know the enemy will do anything to uproot you, to get you out of where you are, that's causing you to grow strong in the Lord? And the more we mature, don't you know, the more we love Christ and love one another. If he can keep us divided, keep us full of discord, keep us full of jealousy, Then we don't have church. We have pure chaos. All right, all up in the church. But see, if you know, it starts with you. Don't be talking about everybody else. Start with you. If everybody start with themselves. And if the Lord is telling you, you stay there. Yes, it may be difficult. Yes, you may not have many friends. But that's where I put you. Won't that give you contentment? I can be just as content because I know if the Lord put me here, he's either going to change you or you out of here. Because he's my protector. Amen? So if you're going through anything like that, just take a moment and pause and say, Lord, am I in the right soil? And he'll tell you. So I ask you to read that chapter in John to talk about the vine and the branches and that word remain, and the Greek word uses it twice. It's remain and abiding. You probably have that interpretation in your scriptures. And we said that the word abiding, remain, it means to remain, to continue, stay true to, dwell in, reside, persevere, stay near or close to. And that's what the Lord is trying to get us. He's trying to get us closer. As a song sung today, deep calling unto deep. See, we've strayed. You ever notice sometimes in a boat, it's just rocking on the water. And you may go take a little nap. And the rocking just puts you to sleep. It feels so good. When you look up, you're 100 miles from where you tied up. See, that's what the enemy's been doing to the church. He's been rocking us right to sleep. And we think we're getting close. We love to sing those songs, close to you. You remember a song? I know I probably hit the wrong note, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Draw me closer. You know what I'm talking about, Reggie. We sing those songs, we get so filled because I hate to say religious, but you know what I'm saying? We're singing it, but we don't mean it. He's rocking us right to sleep. Instead of us getting closer, we're getting further. And my husband preached. He said, you get too far away, you're going to start walking in that beast nature. All of a sudden, you know, you like to cuss again. All of a sudden, you know, your eyes roaming a little bit. You're impatient. You don't like to, what you're trying to say, just get it out, you know, in Jesus' name. Always got to throw Jesus in there like that. That's religion, isn't it? You're finding other ways to obtain things where you used to go to Christ first, you know. Pray. Okay, I'm going to pray, but let me sit down here and get her. Because I used to do this. I'm not ashamed because, God, you know, you commit your faults to one another. I ain't saying tell everybody your business. You better be careful. Right. Tell God who you should be submitting your faults with. Because next thing you know, you all over the way. And what's the internet? God cursed that thing. People talk too much on that thing. Hallelujah. But you know how you're going to get everything together? You know, Patton, everything's right there. George, what I'm talking about. See, George Smart, he down at the table sitting up with his books. I'm in the bed. 3-4 pillows. Softest comforter in the world. You know, I'm just rubbing myself to sleep. Well, I tell you what, let me take 5 minutes. Then I'm going to get right back to it. Next thing, I can feel George's presence in the room. He'll come and say, what are you doing? I said, I'll just rest for a few minutes. He said, no, it's been about 2-3 hours. Set up. It was a setup. Don't try to make yourself so comfortable. Get up. Sit up at a table. Pray. Read the word. Get on your knees. But if you try to make yourself too comfortable, I'm telling you, you're going to fail every time. So finally, I got it. But you need to pause for a moment and evaluate yourself. How are you behaving now? Are you full of pride? You think you got it? You think you know it all? You don't even attend certain functions of the church no more because you know all that. When in reality, you don't know anything. All you know is you have memorized the scripture. So, you know, I can praise and worship. I can, you know, praise and worship start at 10:30. I get to about 12. That I can sit and listen to the word. And then when the word come at 12, well, I've heard this before, so I can slip on out and finish cooking my dinner. Satan has tricked you again. See how far you're getting away? And it's not, it's the body of Christ. And but God is so good. He's wooing us back to intimacy. And we spoke a little bit last week about the Song of Solomon. Some of us are so uptight with that word intimacy that it embarrasses us. And we realize it's because Satan has perverted what God gave us as a beautiful, beautiful act. But the internet, the TV, the movies, they have perverted it. And we know why Satan did that, so you would be uncomfortable. Even when someone used the word intimate, your understanding has been perverted. It's all sexual. And not normal sex, perverted sex. You see how the enemy is trying to distort us? So when you're in a situation like that, you really not, see, let me tell you what intimacy and knowing means. If someone came up to you right now and began to talk about intimacy, some of you right now, like this. So you got to realize some people have been abused as children. Satan warped their minds. Some people are uncomfortable being touched, because Satan has allowed something to come in and warp their minds. You know, some people say, you know, they love the Lord and they love people, but be careful how you hug them. They're very uncomfortable with that. And it doesn't mean they doesn't love, it's that they don't know how. Their spirit has been so warped and they don't have any healing in that area because they haven't bothered to ask for it because they think it's normal. But it's not, because it's going to affect your relationship with the Father. He said, I'm calling you to intimacy. I'm calling you to get close to me. And if you read the book of Solomon, a lot of people don't. They put it down. It's too much for them. But I told you, in Jewish custom, anything that's very important, they normally put right in the center. The book of Solomon is right in the center of the Word of God. It's important that you learn how to be intimate and to get your mindset off of the fact that every time someone says intimate, your mind, if I said intimate to you right now, I guarantee your mind will write to sex. It's deeper than that. See, because you can have a relationship with someone, you don't know them. You don't know their heartbeat, know nothing about it. You don't know their innermost thoughts. It was just quick gratification, overdone with. May call you next week, may not. Because really, I don't have any attachment to you. Intimate. You got to really study that word. And you have to relax and open up your heart and let the Lord become intimate with you. Some of you just is uncomfortable. But you had to get over that, because that's where he's taking us, a journey to intimacy. You read the Song of Solomon. It's a beautiful book. And ask God to cleanse you where you need to be cleansed and heal you where you need to be healed. Because I guarantee you, we're treating the Holy Spirit like we're treating a lot of our natural relationships. When he gets too close, you would say, that's enough. Making me nervous now. You can hear the Holy Spirit or feel him loving you and caressing you. You nervous? I say caress. Caressing you. So we have to learn how to flow in the norm with this. And see it as a beautiful thing. It's the relationship that the Father wants with us. So you can sense the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned to you, John laying his head on Jesus' bosom. Jesus had no problem with that. David and Jonathan had no problem with that relationship. But see, nowadays, when a man loves another man, Satan has got homosexuality so prevalent in the land, the first thing we can say, they're homosexuals. Well, how about they just have a true love for one another? They know how to intimately love one another without it crossing the line. You have a lot of men who have close relationships, and some men desire that, but because of they're concerned with their image, they're not going but so far, because they're too concerned with someone saying about them. And you miss out on wonderful friendships that God has sent your way to strengthen you and encourage you and pray for you and stand in the gap for you. God sent them. But you're uncomfortable. But we're going to get over that today. Yes, we are. We're going to get over that today. See, God looks at you and he said, you're beautiful. You're lovely. Chase after me. Look for me. And he's worth chasing. If you have a difficult time with relationships, God can heal that. Some people don't know how to love their own children. Let me say this. They don't know how to show affection. Doesn't mean you don't love them, but you're uncomfortable showing affection. And now you know that the enemy is going to try to magnify that anymore, much more, because he doesn't want you to get a revelation on intimacy so you can come closer to God. So the next time the Holy Spirit comes and he whispers, I love you and you're beautiful, and you feel his presence as he's ministering to you, be still. I know you may be uncomfortable, just be still. And then tell the Holy Spirit, can you go even deeper? Can you go even deeper? It's a journey towards intimacy. Amen. Amen. And we saw in the book of John where he used the word remain. I told you about 11 times. And he used commands. A command is a direct order. Thank you. It's a direct, and it comes with authority. Now, what is he commanding us? He's saying, stay in Christ. This is Jesus talking. Stay in Christ. Stay in his love. Stay in his word. Stay in his obedience, and then you'll bear fruit. If not, you're going to be thrown out in the fire where you're going to be burned. Stay in his love. Stay in his word. Hallelujah. Stay in him. Stay in his obedience. He's saying that if you keep going in and out, trouble's going to easily attach itself to you. And then we wonder why all havoc has broken loose in our relationship and in our homes and in our finances and even within ourselves. He said, because you got out of me. Yeah. You know, we love to get out of Christ and do it ourselves when we assume God is taking too long. Huh. Well, God, I could have went on to the credit union and got that. I could have got that in 2 hours. My goodness, going on 3 months and you ain't answered my prayer yet. Who do we think we are? We don't give him an opportunity to build anything in us. He's trying to build faith, and he's trying to build dependency. He's trying to help us to walk in peace. He's trying to let us see he is answering your prayer, and in the meantime, everything that affects you not receiving that prayer immediately, I got it. Amen. Because just like a child, if every time they ask you gave, you're going to end up with a spoiled child. Amen. And that child, I'm going to tell you the truth, has not grown in love for you. You have become a source to meet their need. No relationship, no opportunity to grow in love, no respect. You haven't taught them anything. Only thing you taught them is my pocket is always full of money. And, you know, daddy could have had it, boop, before they even fit it, boop, boop. But you know why? Because you don't have time for them. You don't have the energy to develop a relationship with them. You don't know how to love them. You think if you give them what they want, it's going to keep the relationship at least close enough that you see them every now and then. That's good enough for you. That's good enough for you. So it's a two-way street. To really raise and discipline a child takes work. You have to say no sometimes. I don't care if they do roll their eyes. I usually say, just don't let me see it. And because I've been there and done that, I know when I said something to a particular child in my home, and I'm walking away, I said, I know what I did when I was told that. I said, let me turn around. And sure enough, caught her. I mean, they got, I said, I'm not as stupid as you think. See, we've been there, done that. And then you have to let them know that's not appropriate behavior. Even though you may be laughing inside, you don't laugh with them. You know, and then you go and you give discipline, and then you got to use some sense. Now, here I am trying to discipline somebody taller than me, and I'm getting tired, going down fast. So what I do, I throw them to the side, like, and I'm done with that. Right. Whew, if I'd done a few minutes, I would have had a heart attack. But you have to let them know, in this house, respect should be given to one another. In this house, it's not always yes. In this house, we have decided to serve the Lord. They may talk about you, joke about you, laugh behind your back. Doesn't matter, because let them keep living. They're going to eventually get to the place and say, I'm so glad. I'm so glad because I'm on the right track. God has made provisions where I can live a good life. I'm not confused. Because you have a lot of young folk out there, they are they started out okay, but now they're confused. Waste a lot of time in life. Now, the reason God told us that he's drawing us towards intimacy with him is because at this point in our journey, we ought to know what God is doing. We ought to know what God is saying. Do you know what his word says about your current situations? And what is God teaching us at this moment? If someone comes and asks you, what is God teaching you? You can't say, duh. What's he teaching you? Where he's leading you? What's going on in this season? We're just not coming here being preached to because it's fun. God is our commander in chief. He's trying to let us know what is going on during this season so we can be prepared. Are we not soldiers? Good soldiers? In God's army, well, then we ought to be prepared for whatever's coming. It shouldn't be up on us before we react. We should see it 50 miles off, preparing ourselves. Something come to hurt you, hump, you already knew. Yeah. And you prepared. Yeah. So when it happened, it doesn't rock you. You pray it up now. You expected this because the Lord told you to prepare yourself. Yeah. What's he doing? What's he saying to you? What's going on in the world? We see, you, if you, I guarantee you, you know what CNN is saying. All negative. But what is God saying? And we won't know that unless we have an intimate relationship with him. Now, Romans 8, 6 through 9, I love this scripture. It tells us about the mind. It says, the mind is governed by the flesh, is death. But the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is what? Hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Can we say that any clearer? If your mind is carnal all the time, I don't care what you're doing, you are not pleasing to God. And if you are not pleasing to God, then God is saying we don't have a relationship. There is no intimacy between us because there's no communication. Because your mind is hostile towards me. So it's time for us to wake up and realize that when your mind begins to react carnally, you have to say to yourself, this is the enemy trying to get me away from my intimate relationship with the Lord. Now I want to define to you intimacy. I know you have some idea. It's to be close. It's to be familiar. Affectionate. The last time y'all been affectionate with anyone, do you even know what the word means? Affectionate. See, we always on the defense when we go out and share the word of God. We always on the defense in relationships. We always on the defense when we go to our relatives' homes. Because if they out in the backyard having a picnic and drinking, all of a sudden we defensive. You're going to hell. And you yourself just got delivered yesterday. Glory to God. They playing that music. Look at them. All the while, your foot just going. You know, you probably, I can show them a thing or two now. But you're defensive. You're pretending. Now, I know what I'm talking about. Been there, done that. You know, so when we first got saved, you know, and we going to relatives' heart, please don't put, Lord, I would say, Lord, please don't let them play no Marvin Gaye. Because I hadn't quite been delivered. And I know Marvin Gaye, I love some Marvin Gaye, but I'm delivered now. It doesn't affect me. But I ain't judging you if you listen to it. If you're not saved, that's what you're supposed to do. And a lot of times it's my love walk, it's my affection towards you that will make you pause and hear what I have to say. Amen. And Lord, please don't let James Brown come up there. I'm telling my agent, you know, he ain't having one beat. What was that song? What was it? Y'all know what he used to say. All the time. What he used to say? Huh? Get up. That's right. Ah! Get up. Get on up. Get up. He said that for 2 hours. Then he had a part two. Didn't he? He had a part two of get up. It's all right to laugh. God has not fallen off his throne. Y'all need to stop being so uptight. But I've been delivered from James Brown. And then it used to be the Temptations. My Girl and Wish It Would Rain. And you remember that, y'all? My Imagination. Beautiful song. Knew every word. But I've been delivered from that. I asked and the Lord did it. I won't sweat and bullets. The Lord knew I had a change of heart. And when you go from one world to another, it takes time to clean up. But no one could ever tell me I wasn't saved. Amen. Don't even try it. Go ahead and judge me all you want. I know who my Redeemer is. And you telling me, first thing, take the pants, I say, I will not. Take the lips, if I will not. You need to cover your, I will not. Why? I thought you said you would say, I am. I sure am. I'm 28 years old, and you want me to look 58? Not until I'm 58. Lord help him when I got a little blonde in me. Oh, God. You didn't want to cast the blonde out my hair. These folk crazy. I thought I looked right cute. Well, you need to get that blonde. I will not. Oh, I said that for many years. Kind of pushed myself away from life. But in my heart, I just knew I was saved. You know, they didn't die on the cross for me. They didn't shed their blood. Not once did the Holy Spirit convict me or condemn me. I love the Lord. I love the Holy Spirit. I love serving him. And he led me on the journey. Yes, he did. And I thank the Lord for keeping me free. You know, it's good. I love people. And I don't like putting people in bondage. I like telling folk the truth. I'm not about lifting me up, trying to show you all I know. Because we all still learning, am I right? They say love is the mightiest weapon. Start loving folk. And stop judging them. You know, like they got to dress like you do, and you, I don't like the way you dress. I'm not dressing like you. No way. You want me to look like that? Mm-mm. Not going that way, but yet you can judge the way I look. You got to know who you are in Christ so people can't come and change you to be like they are. Don't get too religious. Don't get caught up in that. And you won't if you draw nigh unto Christ and become intimate with him. And you got to start with his mind. See, we know, do you really know him? We know about him. We've been told about him. It's all intellectual. But we don't have any experience. And because we don't have experience, we act like we don't believe him. Normally, when you experience something, you believe it, don't you? Can you ride a bike? I sure can. How you doing? Because I rode a bike. Can you drive a car? Yeah, how you doing? I drove a car. You experienced it. Well, we say we know him and we say we love him, but he gave us a lot of promises, didn't he? And it's like the Holy Spirit saying, but they act like they don't believe me. They act like they can't do all things through Christ. They act like they don't know it's the Holy Spirit that strengthens them. They act like they don't know that we're more than conquerors. They act like they don't know that all things are possible to those who believe. They act like they don't know they can ask anything of me, but according to my will, and it shall be done. They act like they don't know that they're healed by my son's stripes. They act like they don't know that life and death are in the tongue, not the way we talk. We don't know. We must not know that life, we can speak death in a person's life. If you know him, then you know that truth, then you stop speaking death. And that's why you can't let everybody know your business. You'll run to somebody and you have a joyful message. Next thing, but you can't do that. What do you mean you're going to do that? You don't have the degree for that. Girl, that's not in your league. See, they're speaking death into your life. Sometimes even when you're dealing with an illness, you better keep it to yourself. Because they want a woe and crying all over. I feel like Jesus, I'm like, get out of here. Speak life. Speak life. Speak life. You get those naysayers from around you. You go in there one way, you like this. By the time you come out, you crawling on the floor. They've cursed you. Some people are just sick like that. They love to see people down and out. It's just like Job friends. And then they come in with all their religious input. It's not healing you. It's not lifting you up. It's not helping you to see a brighter future. It's just making you agree with what you're already feeling, hopeless. Get away from them. Run as fast as you can. Get away from them. And God will tell you sometime, it's just me and you going through this. Just me and you. Keep your mouth shut. There's a time to be quiet. Some things you can't even share with your wife. I said it. Some things you can't even share with your husband. If the Holy Spirit tells you between me and you, that's what he means. And then he'll say, now you can speak. Now you testify. See, that's intimacy. I'm close enough to his heartbeat to hear what he's saying in this situation. All I need is a word from the Lord. I'm going to pop right up. Because, see, God has the final say. His word is true. We'll listen intently to man. We'll look at man's pictures. We'll look at man's countenance. My goodness, if you depend on what man tells you, your heart will fail. All right, speak, man. Say what you want to say. But I'm going here and I'm going to draw even closer to my God. Father, what do you say about that? I told you you're healed by my stripes. I told you that you should live a long and satisfied life. I told you that you should not die, but live and proclaim the wonders of my word. Isn't that what I told you? Hallelujah. I agree with God. You agree with God? Hallelujah. I told you was a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. Everything in you is brand new. Your gallbladder, your stomach, your intestines. You know the blood is new. It's Christ's blood flowing through you. Hallelujah. Your kidneys, they're brand new. That's not those same organs you had before you was born again. They're gone. Everything about you is brand new, and everything about you works to the perfect function that God intended it to work. My esophagus, brand new. My tongue, brand new. My teeth, brand new. See, I'm crazy enough to believe that. Hallelujah. My mind, we told you, the mind of the righteous is? Hallelujah. So when the enemy comes and tries to tell you that same old lie that he told you before you was born again, you say, uh-uh. You can't touch this. This is brand new stuff. And you're not getting up in here. Hallelujah. I know you're a lie. Shut the door in his face. Glory to God. You got it? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let your stomach start blessing the Lord. Let your liver start blessing the Lord. Let your intestines start blessing the Lord. Let your pancreas start blessing the Lord. Hallelujah. Let your heart start blessing the Lord. Let your throat esophagus start blessing the Lord. That's not too much. That's called walking in faith. You're brand new. You're a brand new creature. And when God created us brand new, what he gave us does not wear out, does it? It don't wear out. The enemy come whisper to you because, see, he wants to take it back. Glory to God. I don't know where all that came from. But somebody needed to hear it. Sometimes you just got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Hallelujah. And you got to keep. Pastor and I was sitting looking at Bill Winstead the other day. I'm telling you the truth. And he was explaining about eternity in our hearts. Let me pass the thing out. And eternity in our hearts is like an atmosphere. And in that atmosphere is everything we need for faith to grow and for promises to be produced. He said that's why the Lord told him to stop fussing, because you're contaminating the seed. Stop lying. Stop bickering. Stop all the strife and discord, because you're messing up the atmosphere. And you can't produce when you bring all that negativity into the atmosphere, the atmosphere of eternity. So if you want to look at it on a higher level, when you start fussing, just say, oh my goodness, my atmosphere has changed. and I'm not producing what God has already put there in my heart for eternity. So you're messing with deliverance. You're messing with provisions. You're messing with the manifest glory of God because the enemy knows if I can get him to fuss. See, he's trying to bring that negativity into the eternal atmosphere that's in your heart. Stop it. It set me free instantly. Stop the gossiping. Stop the backbiting. You don't want to mess up the atmosphere. We have eternity in our heart, don't we, Pastor? That's why the word says, speak it out. But if you contaminated it, what's coming out is not going to do a thing. It's just like going to the gas station. You think you're putting fuel in your car. Lo and behold, it's nothing but water. Has messed up the whole machine. You went to start that thing, think it's going to take you on your way, and it didn't do anything. It was damaged. Almost blew up. So you out there, you praying, you laying on hands, you casting out demons, nothing's happening because your atmosphere has been contaminated. You know you walking in unforgiveness. You know that you have discord and strife in your heart. You know there's bitterness all around up in there. So I guess I'm saying is the time of pretense is over. Because if you keep on pretending, you're going to die. And you're not good for anybody. Stop praying. Stop laying your hands on folk. Nothing effective is coming out of you because your spirit has been contaminated by your attitude. So just stop and say, God, I repent. Forgive me. Refresh me. My heart is to glorify you. And as I go forth to pray and lay on hands, Lord, manifest yourself. And you watch God work. Yes, he will. He'll work. Give me 5 minutes and we're done with this. Intimacy with God. See, God isn't the most important things in our lives. Our spouses, our children, our families, our relationships, our homes, our jobs, our goals, our own aspiration. Am I telling you the truth? And that's why we're faltering. That's why we're failing. And that's why we're getting destroyed when faith is tested to the max. Your faith being tested to the max? Well, God gave me a word in 1 Peter, and it helped me. Because in 1 Peter 6 through 7, it said, all this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. He's already told you what he's doing. Stop bucking against the prick. The trials are coming to test your faith to the max. See, we've all been tested, but this stuff getting serious. But God says it's not unto death. It's not unto death. I'm just testing your faith so that it can come out and glorify me. Just stand. When you've done all you can do, just stand trusting God. Because you shall have trials and tribulations. Now, have peace. Are you having trials and tribulations in your life? Don't murmur. Shut your mouth. Tell God whatever you're going to do it quickly. I say that all. God, whatever you're going to do it quickly. I'm not a martyr. I don't like going through and taking pride in it. You know, some folk, you know, can come in, you know, everything they're going through, everything that's happened to them back to when they was first born. Don't want to hear it. Just stand still for today. Know and trust God that he's bringing you through. He's working it out. Don't be surprised. He says, rejoice in this. And then the follow-up scripture was, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. And that's in James 1, 2 through 4. It says, consider it pure joy. See, this is to help you to get rid of fear, to get rid of frustration, to get rid of doubt, to get rid of hopelessness, because the word is true. So when trials and tribulations come your way, God says, consider it pure joy. Have you ever considered that option? He said, consider it joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know what? The testing of your faith, it produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be what? Mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's why I'm telling you, let perseverance have its work so you can come on out of that thing. Just like on an operating table, you keep moving and jerking, and the doctor can say, take away. I can't finish this operation. She's moving too much. But if I don't hurry and get in there and do something, it's going to kill her. So the next thing you know, they said, we're going to have to get a few more drugs to keep her still so we can complete the operation. Well, we got the Holy Spirit to comfort us, lead us, counsel us. Hallelujah. To be there with us when we're going through. You just need to get closer to God. All that wiggling, all that moving, all that frustration, all that trying to do it on your own. The Holy Spirit said, be still. Just be still. Get closer to me. Get closer to me, and I'll give you instructions. Don't get further from me. Get closer to me. Be still and hear what thus saith the Lord. He's calling us to intimacy. Persevering means steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Perseverance, doing something in spite of its difficulty. Anybody got any difficult situations going on in their life? But you got to remain in Christ. In spite of, trust God. You got to remain, even if it's difficult. And I'm going to leave you with this. Things don't go wrong and break your heart so you can become bitter and give up. They happen to break you down and build you up so you can be all that you were intended to be. And stand to our feet. See, the enemy wants you to think. They come to tear you down and leave you there, and it'll become bitter. Resist bitterness. Don't let it come in. Don't ask the question, why me?